Bibles this morning to John's Gospel chapter 1, please. John's Gospel chapter 1. Quite a number of weeks ago we began a series. We called it We Have Not the Right to Remain Silent, or Soul Winning, whatever title you would want to use. And it was to coincide with our Gospel mission. And as you know, the Gospel mission is over in one sense, and yet the mission is never really over. In another sense, we still want to go out and we want to reach precious souls. I'll let you into a little secret. I had asked Pastor Hoey to speak on one Sunday morning, but he thought I meant three. And so I just let him go ahead and speak all three, and what a blessing it was. So that means that we're going to run on a couple of weeks extra. But as I said, the mission's not over. There's still work to be done. And so we're thinking along that theme this morning, and I'm going to look at some characters that witnessed. You could preach on any one of these, but I'm going to put them together. Hopefully, it will make sense before we say amen this morning. One of the things that unites all of these examples is the home. And so I'm thinking about her home, especially this morning. There was a lady called Christina Onassis. Some of the older people will remember the Onassis family, very, very wealthy family. This young lady was the sole heir to that fortune. Sadly, she died at the age of 37. She took a heart attack. But it was said of her, she lacked a sense of achievement. What she was striving for was just to be a normal being with normal family relationships, which is virtually impossible in her situation. She had houses all over the world, but she never really had a home. Never had a home. It's easy to have a house. It's much more difficult just to have a home. And so we'll see the home tied in, we trust, this morning. John 1, and we're going to read from verse number 35, please. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. We'll end at verse number 42 this morning. I want to ask the question to begin with this morning, is there someone in your home who needs the king? I'm thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone in your home that needs the king? Because I'm thinking of the family, and in verses 36 to 37, two of John's disciples are attracted to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. One of them, of course, is called Andrew, verse number 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He had met the Lord. His life was completely transformed. What does he do next? Look what he does first in verse 41. He first findeth his own brother. This was the first thing. This was the priority for Andrew. And I know that family are the most difficult to speak to when it comes to spiritual things. We can sometimes share the gospel with others, but when it comes to family, we sometimes find it very difficult to speak to them about the Lord. But I wonder, is there someone in your family who needs to hear about Jesus Christ? You see the word first, and then we see the word findeth. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon. And I think in that word findeth, there's effort there. There's something that you and I have to do. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and there's a seeking, there's a work that the Lord can do, but there's a work that you have to do. And the word findeth would indicate perhaps there's someone that you know in your family, and they need you to tell them about Jesus. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we not only see first and findeth, we see his faithfulness. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. Do you see what he does? He just tells them about Jesus Christ. That's all he does. He first finds his own brother. And all he does is he tells them about Jesus Christ. Nothing complicated, nothing deep. He just tells them, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And then you see something fabulous in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. What a wonderful thing to do. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to lead someone in your home to Jesus? Just to bring them to Jesus. And just this morning, as we see this home situation, this family situation, as God, as the Lord laid someone in your heart that's not saved in your family circle. And the Lord says, there's a work for you to do in your home. Do you remember the maniac of Gadara? He wanted to be a missionary. He'd just been saved. He says, I'm going to go with you. Do you know what the Lord said? Go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Go home. And there's perhaps a mission field in your home, and the Lord wants you to tell someone about Jesus Christ. You see, there was some in the home that needed the king. Now, I want you to come to Luke chapter 5. I'll do this bit quickly, and then we'll get to where we want to get to this morning, I promise you. I just want to set the scene this morning. We think, first of all, of a home, and there's those in it that need the king. And then I want to see another home, and the king is brought home. Again, this is a well-known incident. As I said, you could preach in any one of these, a meeting on their own. Look at Luke 5, verse 27. And the word Levi here is just another name for Matthew. So we all know Matthew. We may not know Levi as well, but it's just another name for Matthew. Luke 5, verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, this is the Lord Jesus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Here's a man who was in the workplace. The Lord Jesus spoke to him at work, and he's saved. And his whole life has changed. He left all, he rose up, and he followed the Lord. Now, look what he does next in verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans. Now, that's the people he used to work with. And I want you to see, here's a man, and it's not so much his family, it's his work colleagues. He has a burden for his work colleagues. No doubt he had a burden for his family as well. Verse 29, Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. Verse 30, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Verse 31 and 32, you have a wonderful description of the gospel. Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician. They that don't realize they're sinners, they that don't realize they've got a disease called sin, they don't need a doctor or a physician, but they that are sick, those who understand their need. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And again, I'm just being very simple here this morning. Is there someone in your family that need to hear about Jesus Christ? Is there someone in the workplace that need to hear about Jesus Christ? Has the Lord laid someone in your heart? And of course, you don't make a nuisance of yourself at work. Is there someone you've prayed about, someone who perhaps has opened a door of opportunity, and they have opened the door by asking you certain questions, and the Lord is saying to you this morning, there's a family member that you need to go and speak to. There's someone at work that you can tell about Jesus Christ. You see Andrew, you see Matthew. Now stay in Luke 5. Not only do we see a home, someone in the home that needed the king, we also see the king brought home, but we also see the king at home. Now stay in Luke 5, but I'm going to use Mark 2 again as an introduction here this morning, because here's another incident that you'll be well aware of in the life of our Lord Jesus. I'll introduce it from Mark 2 verse 1. Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, And it was noise that he was in the house. And here's the Lord Jesus. This time it's in the house. I'm told, according to the Greek, it could be translated, he was at home. Most believe this was Peter's home. And the Lord felt at home in Peter's home. And again, the question comes to me this morning. Would the Lord feel at home in your home? Again, it says it was noise that he was in the house. Imagine the neighbors saying, you know, they've got Jesus in their home. Sometimes they could talk about some of the equipment we have in our home, some of the vehicles we have in our home. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. And things in our home that people notice. I wonder, does anyone notice that Christ is in our home? Because Christ felt at home in this home. That would tell me you wouldn't find the Sun newspaper in this home. That would tell me if we were to bring it into 2024, there's programs you would never, ever see them watch in this home. There'd be conversations that never would take place in this home. There'd be no gossip in this home. There wouldn't be talking behind others' backs in this home. This wouldn't happen in a home where Jesus feels at home. That's the sort of a home this was. And we'll come to it in Luke 5 in a moment. Mark 2, verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. And they preached the word unto them. Verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. According to W.E. Vine, this is a man that had a paralytic stroke. He was paralyzed through a stroke. And this man couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything for himself. And of course, it's a picture, and just a picture of someone who's lost, can do nothing for themselves, can never walk as to please God in the spiritual sense, of course, not in the physical sense. But here's a home that was going to be used to reach the neighbors. Now, if you're still in Mark 5, we'll come to it in a wee moment. Luke 5, look at verse 18. You see the bearers here. And you'll know this story well about the man who was sick of the palsy. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. These four men, not mentioned by name, but they had love for this man. They had love for their neighbor. We're not talking about family now. We're not talking about work colleagues. We're talking about neighbors now. I want to give you the full picture. You see the belief they had. Look down to verse 20. When he, this is the Lord Jesus, saw their faith. These are men that believed that Jesus could do something for their friend. Do you know someone? And the truth is, you've given up on them spiritually. You don't feel that Jesus could do anything for them. These men believed that the Lord could do something in this impossible situation. Have you given up? Is the Lord wanting you to think about what you need to do this morning? I want you to see how basic their part was. All these men did was reach out a hand on a stretcher, four of them, and take a corner reach and bring this man. That's all they did. They just used their hand. Very basic, isn't it? You know, in the story of the 10 plagues, there was the plague of boils. It's interesting what the Lord asked Aaron to do, and Moses as well. They were to take a handful of ashes, some translated soot, and the soot would be thrown up and the boils would come upon the people. But here's this man of God, and all the Lord has asked him to do is take a handful of soot. Could I put it like this? Aaron would get his hands dirty for the Lord. Get his hands dirty. It's easy to stand up here and to be seen. But when you're looking for God's people to get their hands dirty, there's just not as many volunteers. Now, I thank God for the many who do get their hands dirty for Jesus. Because little as much, when God is in it, And these men just put their hand on this stretcher. Look at verse number 3. Sorry, let me read verse 3 in Mark 2. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And I'm sort of using these two passages side by side. These four men walked in tandem with this man. If they had have been out of step, this man could have fallen off the stretcher. They walked in tandem, they walked in step, they walked unitedly. The Lord's looking for believers who are united, going in the same direction. There wasn't one of them tried to run ahead of the party. There wasn't one that lagged behind. They stayed in step and they walked side by side. They didn't fall out along the way. They saw their friend, they saw the need, and they wanted to get him to Jesus. Their own personal feelings didn't come into it. They were united behind this one aim to bring this man to Jesus. Could I say something about the burden as well? I don't know how far they carried this man. But I know when you're carrying weight, and you know this if you have children, and you saw a lot of people up at the North Coast carrying children, the first few steps are not too bad, and they get heavier with every step you take. They just seem to be that bit heavier. And this burden would have gone greater and been heavier the nearer they got to Jesus Christ. And sometimes the nearer you are to bringing someone to Christ, that's when the difficulties come. That's when the devil steps in. And I saw it in our gospel mission. I saw as we approached the mission, little things here, little things there. And you could see as we got near the point where we were going to bring people to Christ, the devil got busy. The devil got busy. And maybe that's what put you off. You could have been so near to bringing someone to Christ, but the heat was turned up on you because the devil didn't want you to get them to Jesus. And as the burden became heavier and heavier, these men were determined to take their friend to Jesus. Nothing would stop them. The devil in hell wouldn't stop these men. They were going to get this man to Jesus no matter what happened. Can you imagine when they went up on the roof and the roof was covered and they couldn't get in? Can you imagine how many would have just gone home and said, "We tried our best"? But they took the tiles of the roof. They were happy to get their hands dirty again, weren't they? They weren't worried about the cost of the roof. It'll get paid somehow. Getting their friend to Jesus, in spite of the sacrifice, in spite of the burden, in spite of the distance, here was a neighbor, and Christ is the only one who could do anything for him. And they were going to get him to Christ, no matter what happened. You see the bearers, the belief, the binding, the burden. We could talk about the blessedness. Look at verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And I have a picture with a rope at either end of this stretcher, and they're letting their friend down gently. They're being very gracious with them. Because if you want to bring someone to Jesus, you see the rope of a bad temper and the testimony's gone. The rope of a white lie and the testimony's gone. The rope of a worldly attitude and the testimony's gone. These men carefully lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus. Graciously, carefully, tenderly. This man would have known these four men had his best interest in heart. They weren't out for themselves. They were out for him. What a blessedness. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Verse 24. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." He said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto you, arise, take up thy couch and go." into thine house. And what a change in this man's life. Verse 25. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed in his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. God was glorified. Do you see the picture I'm trying to paint this morning? There was somebody in Andrew's home, his brother, that needed to hear about Jesus. He went and he got him and he brought him to Jesus. Then there was Matthew, who brought his colleagues home and got Jesus to the home to meet his work colleagues. And then you have the king here at home, and the neighbors are brought in. And you see, I think we have a mission field between our family, between our work colleagues, and between our neighbors. There are so many on the way to hell. No wonder has the Lord laid someone on your heart. Now, I want you to come to 1 Kings chapter 10. Because we're going to go to the home of a king. We have a home who needed a king, someone in it. We have the king brought home, Matthew. We have the king at home. And here we see the home of a king. And I'm taking you to Solomon's home. And I want to try and paint a spiritual picture of the sort of home that we would want to have if we're going to be effective in reaching souls for Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Kings chapter 10. And you know the story. This is the Queen of Sheba and how she heard about Solomon, and she'd heard all about him. Verse 1 says, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she heard about his relationship with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing for someone to hear? I wonder what they hear about me and what they hear about you. Did they ever hear about our relationship with the Lord? There was something she heard that drew her to this home, the home of the king. The Lord Jesus used this as a gospel application in Luke 11, verse 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And what the Lord was saying is, here's a woman traveled miles and miles and miles to see Solomon. And all you have to do is reach out to get Jesus, and you haven't done it. And she's going to rise up on judgment day. And you, if you're not saved this morning, if you stand in the presence of God without Christ, and you're going to try and find some excuses, he's going to say, listen, all you have to do is where you were, bow the knee and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Look at the Queen of the South. She traveled for miles and miles to see Solomon, and I'm greater than Solomon. You can see the gospel application, but look at this home. Look at verses 1 and 2. And when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, listen to this, she communed with him all that was in her heart. What was it about Solomon that made this woman think, here's a man I can trust? Here's someone who's reliable. And again, I asked myself the question, among my family, am I seen as someone they could come and speak to if they were concerned about spiritual things? And you think of your neighbors. Am I someone that they feel, if their backs are against the wall, and very often they don't want anything to know about you, but when they're in trouble and when things are happening, very often they're looking for someone who will have some sort of understanding of what the Lord can do for them. And so often they're looking for believers they can trust. And she found in Solomon a man that she communed with everything that was in her heart. There was something about his testimony, something about him that made him trustworthy and reliable, dependable. Are we like that this morning? Is there any point and speaking to our neighbours, our family, our work colleagues about Christ if we haven't got a testimony? He was reliable. She saw the riches, verses 4 to 5. And when the Queen of Sheba seen all Solomon's wisdom, the house that he had built, and the meat on his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers, and his assembly which entered the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She saw the riches of Solomon. Now, I know these were actual riches, but I wonder, do they see spiritual riches in us? Do they see someone who has what Paul talked about, the unsearchable riches of Christ? He said again about the riches of his glory. Do they see the riches of his grace? Do they see that we are people that have riches beyond material things? Because we've got something that the world doesn't have. We're not the type that are moaning and complaining and always down about everything. We've something different. We've got Christ. We've got spiritual riches that the world can't touch. And she could see the riches of this man. She could see the reverence here as well. Look at verse 5. The meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers. And this little phrase here, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. The idea behind the word ascent is actually the burnt offering. And she could see in this home, as they went to the house of the Lord, there was reverence, there was respect, there was something special about it. And as they would go to the house of the Lord, it was via the burnt offering. Let me bring it into 2024. Here was a home that made much of Calvary. Here's a home that made much of the cross. Here's a home where Christ was everything to them. And Calvary was everything. Because without Calvary, without the cross, without Christ, they would have nothing. And she could see the reverence. Look what it says in verse 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy action, of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me of thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. She had no spirit left in her. She was left breathless by what she saw. She couldn't take in all that he had and all that she'd heard about Solomon. She says, the half wasn't even told me. Solomon was no disappointment. Solomon didn't let her down. Again, I wonder, as we think of our lives and our lives for Christ, I wonder, have we let the Lord down? You see how reliable, you see the riches, you see the reverence, you see the rejoicing. Look at verse 8. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servant, which stand continually before thee, that hear thy wisdom. This home was filled with the joy of the Lord. There's something special about this home. Here's a home where there's a reliable, trustworthy believer. Here's a home where they enjoy the riches of Christ. Here's a home where they make much of the cross. Here's a home where the joy of the Lord is everywhere. Here is a home where they received much from the Lord. Verse 9, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. The Lord had blessed them over and over again. She was amazed by this. And she gives Solomon a gift, but he gives her even more than she gives. She leaves this home enriched. Would someone leave our home enriched? Would they leave our home with joy in their hearts and lifted because they've been brought closer to Christ? This is the sort of a home that Solomon had. And this woman was drawn to this home. You see, we're trying to reach our family. We're trying to reach our work colleagues. We're trying to reach our neighbors with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's where the rubber meets the road this morning. Are you someone who can be trusted? like Solomon, she communed all that was in her heart. Do they see someone who's always moaning and complaining and always bitter about something? Or do they see someone who enjoys the riches of Christ? Do they see someone who makes much of the cross or never mentions the Lord Jesus Christ nor Calvary? Do they see one who rejoices in the Lord? Are you dwelling in the wilderness like the 2.5 tribes? Do they see someone whom the Lord is blessing? Do they feel enriched after they spend time in your presence? That's how the Queen of Sheba felt. You see, we've got family like Andrew. We've got workers like Matthew. We've got neighbors just like Peter, if that was Peter's home. And we want to be in the right position to reach others with the glorious gospel of Christ. There's a story told, and I have to confess, sometimes some of the illustrations used, you're never sure how truthful they are. And sometimes they change with time. But there's a story told about a Christian baroness who was living in the highlands of Nairobi, Kenya, and she employed a little local lad to do some work about the house. After 3 months, he asked her for a reference to go somewhere else. And she didn't want to lose him, and she said, "Well, why are you going somewhere else?" And this is supposedly what he said. He said, I wanted to work in a Christian home to see what a Christian was like. And I am going to work in a Muslim home to see what a Muslim's like. And then I'll see where I'm going to put my trust." She said, "I wish you had told me that when you come." But Peter says we are to be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that we have this morning. We are found to find others. We are told to tell others. We are won to win others. We are saved to save others. I wonder, have we a burden? The mission is over, but the mission goes on. For our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, for our colleagues. Do we still have that burden? Will our lives be such that we can confidently share the gospel with them? I'm not saying it's easy. I know it's not. But is there something lurking in our mind that needs to be put right? Has our attitudes been wrong? Do we need to get ourselves right with the Lord again? Because there's people need to hear about Jesus. And they need you to be right. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for thy word again this morning. And Lord, the many challenges we find this morning. Lord, we thank you for Andrew, who had a real burden for his brother. Lord, we know there are people here and they have a real burden for wives, for husbands, for brothers, for children. Lord, would you bless them? Will you encourage them? Lord, give them the joy of seeing loved ones saved. May they, like Andrew, have the wonderful, unspeakable joy of bringing them to Jesus. Perhaps there's some like Matthew, and Lord, they rub shoulders day by day with people they work with, and they're on their way to hell. Lord, would you even direct us to one even, just to share the gospel with them. Lord, as we look around our neighbors, the Lord's day when we're coming to church, Lord, they're just going about their business, no interest in the things of God. Lord, give us a burden for them. Help us, Lord, to have homes and testimonies that will back up our witness for Christ. And may there be something like Solomon that will draw people to come and ask more about our Savior. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning. Encourage God's people, for it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing for this part of the meeting this morning. Number 280, sound the gospel of grace abroad. There's life in the risen Lord. Spread the news of the gift of God. There's life in the risen Lord. We'll stand to sing 280 together. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we just pray you will bless those who must leave us now. And Lord, as we wait on around this table, be with Graham as he opens the word and give us a special time as we gather to remember our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in and through his precious name we pray. Amen.